The scripture today is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 1 to 13, the parable of the 10 virgins. At the time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the crying rang out, "Here's the bridegroom! Come out to meet him!" Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Will you bow with me for a moment, please? Gracious, holy, and eternal God, we give you thanks for another moment to be paused, another moment to be still, another moment to know that you are God. Lord, you know all the things that are swirling around us and all the things that are in our hearts and our minds, but we ask that you would be with us in this moment because we really, really need to hear a word from you. So Holy Spirit, once again, please pour yourself out on us. Once again, take the words of the scripture which we share, the humble words that I will offer, and the thoughts of every single one of our hearts, and inspire them. Breathe life into them so that in them we might hear the word of God, the word made flesh, Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. So we have moved now in our journey through Matthew to chapter 25, and we start in this section, this really end section. This is in the middle of a part of Matthew where Jesus is teaching about the end, about the end of time. And in as he comes to the very close, now this is still in Jerusalem. This is still between the triumphal entry on Palm Sunday and the Last Supper. And as Jesus is getting closer and closer and closer to that Last Supper, to his arrest, to the crucifixion, he turns to teach about the last things. And he starts that in chapter 24. And now in chapter 25, we have these three pivotal parables. And so we're going to look at the first of those today. This parable about 10 bridesmaids, literally virgins. Now, the thing about this parable is that Jesus' parable here raises a lot of questions. It raises a bunch of questions. Why didn't the bridesmaids share their oil? And what's up with oil lamps anyway? And what does Jesus mean by wise and foolish? I mean, we have ideas about what it means to be foolish. Right? We might say that being foolish is paying too much for your car insurance. Or being foolish is driving 65 through a 25 mile an hour zone. Or we might say that being foolish is voting for candidate fill in the blank. Right? We have a lot of ideas of what foolish is. But what is it that Jesus is talking about here? How does Jesus, what does Jesus mean when he talks about what's foolish? Well, so let's take a bit of a look at that. Now, the word that Jesus uses here is a Greek word moros, which is, of course, the root for our English word, moron. Right, this is where that comes from. And according to Strong's definitions, this is Dr. Strong of the Concordance fame, moros means dull or stupid, that is, heedless, morally, you could be a blockhead, or by extension, it's something absurd, a fool or foolish. So how does Jesus use this word? Well, Jesus uses the word foolish, moron. He uses it only in the Gospel of Matthew, and he uses it 6 times there, 3 times in this parable. He uses it once in Matthew 23:17, where he's critiquing the Pharisees. Starting in verse 16 of that 23rd chapter, Jesus says, "Woe to you blind guides! You say, if anyone swears by the temple, it means nothing. But if anyone swears by the gold of the temple, they're bound by an oath. You blind morons! What is greater, the gold or the temple that makes the gold sacred?" The other 2 times Jesus uses this word are in the Sermon on the Mount. So in the beginning of the sermon, in chapter 5:22, is where Jesus says that if you call someone a moron, you will be in danger of the fire of hell. So it's not something that we should toss around casually. Perhaps it's not something that you and I should toss about at all. We're not really qualified to be calling each other morons. When I was a young person riding on the bus, this was back in the old days where the driver had to shift, and regularly there would be that sound of a missed gear, right? That crunching, grinding sound. And along with the choruses of "grind me a pound," I would almost always say, "Well, geez, even I could do better than that." And at the time, I thought that I was right. I was driving. I learned to drive on a stick. I'd been driving tractors on the neighbor's farms where I helped. So yeah, I could do that. And it wasn't until I learned to drive that I understood that a large vehicle, particularly a large vehicle with an unsynchronized transmission, is a lot harder than you might think it is. And that there's an art to getting 1 foot up and 1 foot down and the arm moving in just the right, and it's easy to miss that poetry. I was not qualified to comment. And when we think about calling one another fools, Jesus says, we're not qualified to comment on that either. In fact, not only are we not qualified, but it creates dangerous conflict and division when we do. So the second place in the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus uses this word is at the end of the sermon, chapter 7, verse 26. And it's part of the parable that Jesus tells about two builders, one who's wise and one who's foolish. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man, a moron, who built his house on the sand. The rains came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. So with Jesus, the way Jesus uses this word means that to be foolish is to hear what Jesus says, but not do it. To hear what Jesus tells us to do and to not do it. To not be prepared, to not be ready. So what is it about the oil lamps anyway? Well, oil lamps provide light. And when we think about light, you know, light is obviously is important, especially when there isn't enough of it, like these two clowns. But when I think about what Jesus says about light in Matthew, see, now, I should pause for a second and say, if we're looking to understand what a verse says, we want to look first at the verses around it. And if we still have questions, then we look at what it says in the rest of the book that we're looking at. And then we go to broader texts in the scripture. That's the safest way for us to get the best idea of what the scripture is actually trying to tell us. So we have this question that this parable raises. So we look to see, how does Jesus talk about light in the rest of Matthew? And when I think about that, the thing that I always think about is, again, from the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16. You are a light on the hill. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and then put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So light is meant to shine so that others may see our good deeds and glorify God in heaven. And so this is the job of the bridesmaids in this story. They're meant to bring light when the bridegroom comes. And both sets, the wise and the foolish, they do the same things, right? When the bridegroom is delayed, they sleep. When the shout counts up, goes out, here's the bridegroom is coming, they jump up to get ready. But this is why the wise can't give oil to the morons. Because if our light is meant to shine so that others will see our good deeds and glorify God, if that's what the light is, we can't give away our righteousness. Right? You can't give your righteousness to me so that my light can shine. I can't give my righteousness to my son. Right? We can't give our righteousness to others. We can only do our best to live our lives in a way that it shines, that our good deeds shine glory to God. I can't do that for you. You can't do that for me. Now, in all of this conversation about the questions and all of this pondering that often gets done on, so what is the oil then? We can sometimes lose the fact that the point of Jesus' story is that we should be ready. This is the way the parable ends. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. We have to be ready. And the way for us to be ready is to intentionally grow and nurture righteousness in our lives, deep connections to God and deep connections to each other, so that our good deeds will shine not on us, so our good deeds will shine not on those that we help, but so that our good deeds would shine on the glory of God. So, one last question. What do you need to bring so that others may see your good deeds and glorify God in heaven? What do you need to bring? What do you need to add? What do you need to be more intentional about in nurturing and developing and committing to your relationship with God, your relationship with each other? Where do you need to stop and let God pour into you? Where do you need to pour out so that God is glorified? What do you need to bring so that others may see your good deeds and glorify God in heaven? It is essential that we answer that question, because it's the only way that we can be ready. Ready when the bridegroom comes. Grace to you and peace. Amen.